Outwardly, you could look like a nice Christian. Outwardly, you could be very polite. But inwardly, you are already thinking in the flesh. We may not see the results of the flesh yet. Maybe a few hours later, a few days later, a few weeks later, then you begin to behave like a fleshly person. We can see it. But until then, you were already in the flesh. Being in the flesh and being in the spirit is only a split second thing. Anything that goes on in your heart, in your mind. So the question people ask, how do I walk in the spirit? How do I keep myself in the spirit all day? You have to be filled with the spirit before you can walk in the spirit. Now, how does it feel to be filled with the spirit? And you ask many Christians, what does it mean to be filled with the spirit? Wait a minute, that is one of the manifestations of being filled with the spirit. But surely, if you are working somewhere in a city or somewhere, you're not going to say, and when you're not, then you're not filled with the spirit. You're not speaking in tongues, that is. Yes, speaking in tongues, you know, could be one of the things. But sometimes, I have known. Now, some of you may disagree with me. When Pentecostals get filled with the Spirit, and they get used to tongues, they can speak in tongues and still be in the flesh. Oh, I'm sounding like heresy now. Because whatever is coming out of their life is not the spirit. Now, hold on there. They say, oh, fine, I'm treading a very fine line here. I better walk very carefully. What they are saying is still, in a sense, the spirit giving them the language. But it has gone into what I call otomon. And in their heart and mind, there are still these emotions that are going on in their life. And this is my conclusion when I observe Pentecostalism. That's why we don't call our church Pentecostal church. We just call ourselves Evangelical Charismatic Church. We're somewhere in between. Because we've seen too many extremes. Do you know that people who sometimes behave, quote-unquote, very spiritual in a very abnormal way? Abnormal behaviors, how do I put it? Abnormal spiritual behavior. Some of you are going to run me down and say, hey, isn't everybody who's spiritual abnormal? Yes, in a general sense, when you compare it with the people of the world, right? So all of us are not normal, right, in a sense, to the world. But among those who are not quite so normal like the world, they are still abnormals. Say, brother, how do they behave? This is some of the typical behavior that I observe, right? They are quote-unquote spiritual, but not really spiritual, right? But we quote everything in the spirit is spiritual. No. Not some of the things are actually emotional. And I have found that when you're filled with the Spirit, of course you can weep, you can cry, you can be emotional, but there is a realism there. I mean, once in a blue moon when you scream, that's fine, huh? But if you're screaming, you know, on every normal moon, in every normal sun, right, that becomes abnormal, right? Once in a while when the baby falls down and stumbles, this little cute baby, you know, falls down and he's trying to walk. Once in a while, it's okay, he's trying to walk. But if he falls down every 5 minutes, that would be something wrong. I'll be great concern. Right. And so it depends on the frequency. So let's say you meet someone who's really speaking in tongues and in a prayer meeting. And in a prayer meeting, you're given certain free lengths. But let's say, you know, you're praying and somebody praying and everybody goes, rah, 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 rah. And then this person goes, hi, 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 hi. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. And who is to judge whether this person is in the spirit or in the flesh? If you say that he's in the flesh, you say, wait, I'm praying in tongues. Yeah, I mean, hi, yeah, 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 could be some sort of Samoan tongue or something, right? Whatever. So who's to judge? We don't judge by the language because we say, well, generally, if it's from your heart, you know, we accept it. However, when it is causing, when we feel the lack of love coming out, the lack of peace, the lack of joy, you know, and you try to pray in the Spirit, and there the presence of God is coming, and Jesus is coming so sweetly, and His presence is so sweet and nice, and everybody is basking in His glory.
Yeah!
Thank you. Don't you think that's in the flesh? It is in the flesh. It is an emotion. And I have found that sometimes that results because people inside are hurting themselves. Right? It's the hurt that's coming out. It's not really the spirit coming out, it's the hurt that's coming out. And the person needs a healing on the inside. Needs to be healed on the inside. And needs to be touched by God. And if the person recognizes and someone tells the person, look, I think this is slightly off tangent and you need to let God touch you, then the person can grow and become a better person. But if the person attends a Pentecostal church and says, oh, hallelujah, that's the Holy Ghost there, the person is going to be encouraged in the wrong way, constantly. And then maybe in the end, they may group together and form the Hi-ya-ya-ya-ya Pentecostal church. Right? Everybody does that. That's fine. You know, everybody does those things. But we need to understand that what we are interested is not the mannerisms of people, not how all those things. We want to have love, joy, and peace. And it has a certain expression that comes forth. I can assure you, if it comes from the Spirit, and there's a moment, let's say when the moment, you know, peace and love and joy are dynamics, which means it needs to come forth in the right manner. And if it comes forth in the right manner, it doesn't disrupt. It comes forth, and we rejoice with the person. And let's say, if somebody walks, and the person walks, don't you think something is wrong with their right leg? Right. If the person is walking, something is wrong with their right leg. It's obvious because you know what is normal walking. So, if somebody began to do some things in the Spirit, and you know what is normal in the Spirit, everything out would be abnormal. So, there is a sense of what is normal, which is love, peace, and joy. When some things doesn't produce the love, peace, and joy, no matter how spiritual people call it, it could come in a form of prophecy, it can come in a form of tongue, it can come in a dancing in the Lord, you know. I have seen dancing in the Spirit. I've seen people dance in the Spirit. Now, not all of them are ladies. Some of them are men too, right? Back home, we have one little skinny man who wears glasses, and in church, he used to dance in the Spirit. But when once in a while, you have this another person comes, and the person will go. And if you examine, I can assure you, when you examine all these people and you fellowship with them, some of them have inner hurts in their life that God is still in the process of healing. And as they express themselves in the Spirit, it comes out. It comes out. Because as they let go, and what they need is healing. So the difference between walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh, can be a very thin line of love, joy, and peace into something that is not love, joy, and peace. Something that arises out of the hurts of people. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit, which is the way of peace. You don't have to worry too much into the future, but every day, make sure you have peace. That you have the love of God, you have peace, and in some things you find a bubbly joy coming out from your life. The moment you lose your peace, your love, and your joy, get back into God at some point. Find out, because you have left the way of peace. You have gone the wrong direction. And the more you go in the wrong direction, the more the peace disappears. The more the love disappears, the more the joy disappears. When you go further and further away from the road of peace. Peace is so powerful that you don't have to worry about the devil. You don't have to worry about circumstances. If you keep walking in the way of peace, you will defeat Satan and all circumstances. I'd like to read to you in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. In verse 20. Romans 16 verse 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. It's not the God of power, although God is the God of power. It's not just the God of faith. God is the God of faith who imparts faith. Not just the God of glory, but the God of peace. Why does he use that concept? Now, there's a God of glory that comes forth when we worship. There's a God of faith when you begin to soak into his word. But when you do battle, it's a God of peace. Because you're out there in the world. The difference between you and the world is like what Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give I unto you. It's the peace that comes from him. And the peace of God in Philippians 4 verse 7 will garrison your heart and your mind. Surrounding you. The word garrison. Now, the English word garrison, as well as the Greek original Greek word garrison, means to guard. Now, if you have to guard, there must be something opposing you. It is not just the peace of God surrounds you and soothes you. It says the peace of God that passes understanding guards you. So when you go out to war and you walk your daily life, whatever manner of work you have, the most important thing is the peace of God there. In every little decision you make every day, just make sure that you're experiencing the peace of God, the love of God, the joy of God. The moment you step one foot out, it will start disappearing on your inside. Some of us have not developed a sensitivity to that, so you won't sense it maybe until you're about 1 kilometer off. Some of you will sense it the moment you're 1 meter off. Some people don't sense it until they're 100 kilometers off. And some never sense it at all. But walking in the Spirit is walking in the peace of God and moving into that direction. All the time. So that's what it is like when I'm not talking about ordinary peace. When you reckon yourself dead to Christ and you consider you're crucified with Christ on the cross, there is a sense of peace that the world has never give. Do you know the sense of quote unquote nothingness? It's not nothingness. It is a peace that passes understanding. It's so powerful that you don't care about anything in this life as long as you have that peace. That you don't worry about anything in this life as long as you have that peace. That you're not worried about the future or things to come as long as you have that peace. So the experience of being nothing, having nothing, and doing nothing is the peace that flows from the Prince of Peace into our life. Then you know that you are in Him. Constantly walking with Him. Little decisions that you make, little directions, little changes of your heart, little changes in your motivation.